Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. We have with us once again a host for Blog Talk Radio, Lawrence Drink, also known as Spocky Lee, is back to host his Sunday's 3:30 p.m. show, and he will be starting the show right now by giving an introduction. Welcome, Lawrence Drink.
Thank you so much, Leona. Welcome, everybody, to Blog Talk Radio. So I am, unfortunately, I have to let you guys know we were evacuated from our homes. So I am spotty Wi-Fi, so I've asked my, thankfully, my brother to run the majority of the show, along with my sister-in-law, also the Secretary of Legacy Programs. So my name is Lawrence, a.k.a. Sparky Lee, as all you know me on Facebook. I run the Legacy Programs group on there, as well as I'm part of Our Legacy, Each One, Teach One. If any of you guys want to know any more about reentry or the services that we provide, you can find us on legacyprograms.net. And there we provide mentors, correspondence, curriculum. We are a support network out here. We create the support network for your loved ones before they get out for not only a permanent reentry, but a successful one at that. I'm an advocate. I served 20 years in prison. I pretty much know what it takes for a successful and permanent reentry. I've been out almost 9 months now. And within that 9 months, I was able to create the Legacy Programs education and reentry. So, and we're very successful, and we are a people of service and selflessness. And we pride ourselves on that we have the answer and we know what it takes to be in there. We are for us, by us, about us organization. So my guest next week, we will have DJ Vodovic. He is the author of he's a formal CEO, which wrote the book on the Green Wall. And I was part of that. I was at the prison where it was created. And during the time of that situation, I was actually there. So that's going to be an interesting conversation and interview next week. And so, Tommy, are you on?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
We have two on with us, co-host and...
Okay. Who's the other person?
Christine.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
All right. So
on you.
I'm gonna have the Wi-Fi in here is shot, so I'm gonna let you guys do it. We do not have a guest today, so if you guys just want to talk about legacy programs, whatever's on your heart, Tommy. I know that the foster system is a big concern of yours, and you're part of the oversight. Department and Legacy. So I just wanted to introduce you. Tommy, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you, Lawrence. My name's Tom Brady. I basically go by Mr. Brady a lot of the times. I went last week, we spoke a little bit about the topic on the pipeline in the foster care system. But this week, I think what happened last week is I talked for 30 minutes and I put myself on mute, if I remember, and we couldn't figure it out for the life of me. So I do want to apologize to the viewers and the people out there, Leona, your kind heart and your time, and my wife as well, trying to figure this out. Man, these women of gold. You know, they put their time out there, people, and they make awareness to you guys out there to what's going on in our society. And so a big thank you to the women out there, the backbones to this world. But I want to shed some light on a little bit of what I was talking about for the 30 minutes, as not the pipeline that necessarily of the foster care to prison, but mainly foster care wise. You know, I went through 40. I don't know if anyone has ever, you know, you walk by somebody and you don't really realize their story or that they even have one, you know, or what they're going through per se. But
hey, Tommy.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Christine's at work, so can you give her a little bit of time, real quick, and then finish the story. I'm sorry.
Perfect.
Okay, Christine.
Hold on, what happened?
You want to? I know you're at work right now, so you want to introduce yourself and what you do, and then let Tommy carry on.
Sure. I'm the secretary to Legacy Programs. I help build the website to your program, and I'm just the person that they contact in regards to getting appointments, and I write emails and so on and so forth. I don't know what else you want me to say.
No, that's fine. I just wanted you to, you know, get some acknowledgement real quick, because I know you're at work. I know you're super busy, and Tommy's primarily going to lead this conversation for this hour show, and I know that he has a lot of insight and a lot of awareness that he's going to be able to relate to a lot of people. So,
So just in regards to your website, you know, a lot of people can donate. Doesn't matter what the amount. To any type of cause, like for reentry, for people who are struggling, trying to get clothes, for shelter, the fire victims, you yourself, who is also a victim of the fire. And then also, like, if they want to donate their time and volunteer, they can go online and volunteer. There's a website or, like, a site for that to get in contact with me. So that way I can place them and let you know, what their skills are. You know, we have the cards for incarcerated where we send out letters to the incarcerated. So it's just a work in progress right now, and I'm getting back into the prison to do reentry and also be a chaplain as well.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much. And where can we reach you at?
CB, C as in cat, B as in boy, legacy programs at gmail.com.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
All right, Tommy, would you like to continue?
Yes, Lawrence, thank you. And thank you on behalf of Legacy Programs, you know, to my wife, Christine. You know, the people that Lawrence brings on board and the people that he brings out, you know, he shows a gratitude that you normally don't see from people that have been incarcerated for 20 years. You don't see that in most people. You know, a lot of times when a dog's been beaten and been dragged through the mud, all you can really get is, you know, a bite. You'll get, you know, attention here and there, but for the main factor of people that have been through it, you know, through the war zones and the torment of life, to want to come out and help and lift a, you know, a finger to, you know, not just point at somebody, but to help. The gratitude says a lot, you know, and, I would like to say thank you, and to people that are out there that are listening, you want to get a hold of Legacy Programs, you just got to reach out, and there's programs there, there's systems put in place, and to know that, you know, there's quite a few people here who can help and continue a legacy and continue a backbone that's going to be put in place to help you and guide you. But to the story of back to what we were talking is going through a system of 47 foster homes, three group homes. I kind of spiraled from the bottom, from the top to the bottom, and didn't really have a learning curve. I didn't have a learning edge or a fighting desire. So let's start off with, you know, in the beginning where being born, you're a preemie, you're a pound and 14, 16 ounces. You're under 2 pounds. And from head to toe, you're about 13 inches long. That's as much as a ruler, just to give you a little broad view. So you fight for your life. You go through the 47 homes. You go through three group homes. You know, and people telling you that they love you, they care about you, they want the best for you, best education. But it doesn't go down that way. It doesn't look that way. From the outside looking in, people that would walk by, they see you dressed up in nice clothing. You put on, a show, so to speak. And everything gets kept in. And I remember as a kid, you know, we would always go to missionaries or we would go to go places. You know, they take you out on adventures. Your foster care, they call them guidance counselors, guardians. The people from above, right, the angels, the ones that have a huge heart, that want to give a helping hand and to help you and to give you the guidance that you may desire. And then there's some out there that aren't, that don't want to raise you that way. It's not that they want to raise you. They want to do their own productivity, so to speak. And they begin to emphasize into you of their childhood and their torments. So now you're not only being raised up through a system, but now you're being taught how to live. And you go through different homes, different species, different minorities. You talk about going to standing in one spot and visiting the world. It's possible. You just got to stand there long enough and to recognize it. So you begin to take in all these patterns, all these cookie cut way of living. You take in the good, you recycle the bad. Right? That's the whole objective. Doesn't go that way. You begin to pick up traits in school because these parents, these guardians that are raising you, they're not raising you. They're teaching you, but their method, right? What's right and what's wrong. Sometimes you get a wiffle ball bat. Sometimes you get a belt. Sometimes you get a drunk, an alcoholic, a drug user. People aren't perfect. Families aren't perfect. Your living's not perfect. You tell me someone who's perfect, and I'll give you Jesus. And you compare it. And you tell me what's perfect. So these people, you know, they begin to raise you and teach you, and you pick those up, and you go to school, and you begin to display them. You begin to act out in them. What are you supposed to do? Do the homework and just go home? Do the study, the arithmetic, try to concentrate? That's your free time. You're not being messed with when you're at home. You're at school. You're supposed to be learning. You're supposed to be picking up a pencil and paper. and opening your ears and being attentive. Our eyes to be listened to, you know, taking in all the information that's being given, because those are the tools that you're going to need to survive. Those are the tools that you're going to need to emphasize, to pick up and utilize. Well, that's what you should be taught. That's what you should be learning. Who's to say it's right or wrong? And what you're being taught in school? Everything from the A to Z that they teach you is just a lie. It's a cover-up, but you still go through the system. And then another system. So now you're going through the foster care system. Now you're going through the school system. And teachers remember you. Word gets around. And you finally get to high school. You try to fit in. If you make it to high school, most go through junior high. I know I did. Try to play sports. They would always recommend you to, you know, play sports, an activity or something. If anyone's listening in, Leona, do we have anybody in at this time, listeners that want to say anything, or do we have any new numbers?
No, not yet. No, apparently there was supposed to be a guest that couldn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question.
Ken?
Go ahead.
I said I had a question for my husband. What would you tell other people about, like how would you have them deal with the foster care system? Like, what tips would you tell people?
What would I change?
No, what would you tell them? Like, what kind of tips to survive?
Honestly, I could tell you to keep your head down and keep your ears open, but that's just playing it safe. What I learned over the years, and this is from my wife, a huge honoration and inspiration to a custom-sized heart that only God can fit. And only God can put into place. But to answer your question, it's very vague. Do anything and everything that you find to distract your brain. Learn something. Go out and help somebody. Do what makes you happy. Find an inspiration. Find an admiration. Do something with your life. Don't just stop before the finish line. Don't start something and don't finish it. Because that's what happens. You get accustomed to different homes. You go from home to home to home to home. You hop, skip, and a jump. And what ends up happening is you become too accustomed that you can just quit anytime and start again. You can quit and start again and quit and start again. And you have no reasons, no consequences, no backlash. But the issue there is that there's a lot of growth. There's a lot of underneath all that debris. If you just dust it off, you could start to breathe again. And live a life. Live a legacy. be a big brother to your big brother.
Can I say something, too?
Certainly.
It makes so much sense. And first of all, I want to explain and apologize for last week, because what you're talking about is sometimes people fall and they pick themselves up and they wipe themselves off and they keep moving. They keep progressing. And that's something that you and your brother Lawrence have done, and you both ended up with really good women that have been a real support to you. But what I was going to say, and you went from foster home to you guys really went through a lot. But, you know, even with people that have not been in foster homes, they fall, they stumble, and a lot of times they pick themselves up and they wipe themselves off and keep moving, and others, they don't. And I haven't had the experience that you and your brother have had, but I've had so many negative experiences that as you witnessed last week, I sometimes get so fed up with everything that's going on, and I just go off on a rampage. You know, I just have to vent, and I have to let everybody know how discouraged and disappointed and frustrated I am. And this is happening with people all over the country, all over the world, really, but mainly in this country, because this country is so stressful. And it's about, so there's so much going on. But what you're talking about, it's not often, and you and your brother would and do show, you demonstrate really really productivity, and you really helped a lot of people. And last week you did such an excellent job until I stepped in and messed up. But I just wanted to thank you for that last week. I'm sorry that it did turn out the way it did. But I thank you, because I think, Mr. Brady, I think you do an excellent job when you speak, and I think Lawrence does too. And you get your points across, and you really let people know how difficult it may be, but at the same time, how easy it is if they really put their mind to it to try to be successful. It can be done. I just wanted to say that, because you and your brother have been an excellent example.
Well, thank you, Leona, for the recognition and the acknowledgement, and for your understanding. A lot of people don't understand. They misunderstand. They're misunderstood, as my brother would put it. Everyone goes through walks of life. Everyone takes turns. And, you know, for the folks out there that don't have it easy, you know, I don't have it easy. Learning is a curve. And it takes what takes it, you know, to a different level to wake it up in the morning, to get up and to rise another day and forget about yesterday and don't worry about tomorrow is all spiritual for me, honestly. It's all God's doing. I've never had an equation without, at the end, without having the answer be to God. I know a lot of people, you know, out there, there's an insaneable amount of disbelievers, and that's fine, because there has to be naysayers. There has to be haters out there. There has to be. Because that's all we've ever been given. That was our shot in the dark. That was our hope, our dreams. It wasn't overnight that we just appeared with, you know, good wives or good people in our life. It took work. It took sacrifice. It took losing things like this fire did with my brother. Now you imagine starting over on something that you've never experienced in your life, and you get the first taste and the first look at it, and then you lose it. And you wonder how we stay calm. We don't. We fight a burning desire inside our bodies that want to rage out against the people. Do you think music is just a tool, an instrument? It's our way of living. It's our everything. Everyone has a way of learning. Everyone has a way to get ahead in life. But you got to search for it. You got to find it. You got to reach down some days and grab a hold of yourself and say, you know what? I deserve better. That God's got his hand in your situation. That no matter where you go and what you do, how you act and how you speak, how you look, means everything. But not to God. God says you're perfect in all ways. He designed you from head to toe. That if he's perfect, you're perfect in his image. You're not perfect in your image or in the world of the image of the eyes of the people of this world. But you matter to him. You mean something. And that's why I keep going. That's why I strive. That's why I have a good wife or a good person or people in my life, because I ask for it. I pray for it. He says he stands at the door and knocks, and who will answer? I bet you I will. Will you? Will you answer the calling? What's your calling in life? What is it that you want to do? Don't just sit around and wait for someone to tell you what to do. You get up and do it. You make an effort, a goal, attempt, a try. Don't just sit there and wait for something to happen. Make it happen. Be an activist. Be a person, you know, that God's called you to be. Doesn't matter what it is. Not everyone's a genius. Not everybody, and even a genius can't even hard boil an egg. And that's one of the easiest proteins to go after. You can eat an egg 168 different ways. I could teach you to make one. But it's still going to be the same protein. It's how you look at it. A lot of people have looked at me as a villain. Because of being shunned from families. You wake up one day and this family doesn't want you. Why? Nothing you did. They just don't want to do the foster care anymore. They don't want to be the held responsible guardian of putting their name down as a caretaker or a person of, you know, interest. They don't want to do it anymore. Or they have personal obligations of their own. Something in their life is holding them back. Taking a hold of them and they're not wanting to do it anymore. So now you still have to go to school and learn. You still have to wake up every day and be that youth that's in junior high trying to make it to high school. But you don't make it. Because all these things, all these paperweights. Their paperweights are basically, there's a book in the system, in the foster care system, okay? It's a little book, and everyone writes things in there, from your teachers, your PTA meetings, to parents, guardians, I don't know, everybody in there. And they write in there, and they put messages, and everyone reads it. They all go off of that. Instead of asking you, how do you feel today? How are you? No one ever asks that. No one ever goes across those. They just read through the book, A to Z. Just like the school system. Teach you from A to Z. And everything in between. So they never really asked me what's going on with you. I'd go to school, try to get straight A's. Did okay. But I got in more fights than anything. I was fighting against myself. My own flesh and blood. But God says we're not here to fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's a hard one for me to swallow. Because if you understand the principalities, it's hard. It's really hard to fight this. And what I mean is, it's hard to deal with them because you're not the one fighting them. God does all the fighting for you. All you got to do is believe. Stand still, stand firm, and don't give in, no compromise, don't give up. Give it all you got. Kick yourself in the butt and go after it. Like I said, whatever it is you want to do in life, you do it, but run after it. Be the Olympian, like I said last week. Don't let your torch run out. Be that light in the dark. Be that person that speaks up for people who can't speak for themselves. Be that big brother to somebody, that big sister. You know, and that's what I was saying by being a, I know I'm the younger brother, being a big brother to the older brother. And it's interesting because you never think that life's going to go that way. Give me a second. So, in Lane's term, I got distracted. I do apologize. There was someone at the door, but you just got to be that Olympian.
Life is very difficult, and I don't know if you got the door yet, but life is very difficult. And one of the things is people throughout the country, unless you've been through some kind of trials and tribulations, you know, some kind of affliction, persecution, you really don't know. You don't know what it's all about. We're living in a world today where it speaks about the signs of the times. And you were talking about not wrestling against flesh and blood, and that's exactly what it says in the book of Ephesians. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You know, we have people that we're in opposition with, and there's so much chaos going on and so much division. But it says we are wrestling against the powers and principalities, our spirits in dark places in this country, in high places. And so everyone is going through something. I've had either family members or I've had friends in the last 6 or 7 months that have died, you know, that are dying, and so many people are going through so much. And then we have the pandemic, which is getting worse, and then we have these fires where Lawrence is, and all the flooding and everything that's going on, even across the country, in other countries. There's so much going on. And then we have the division in this country, and everything is just going crazy. And it says in the Bible, it says that if we can tell when there's going to be a storm just by looking up at the sky, we should be able to tell the signs of the time. And this is serious. People really need to get it together, because we're at a time now where we don't know from 1 second to the next hour whether it might end up being in that day or that hour. As far as conflict goes, people in other countries, they're saying we shouldn't have to worry about other countries, because they say the enemy is within our own country. So there's a lot of things going on, and people need to come together, and they need to try to get their lives together, and they need to do what you say. Get up and wipe yourself off and move forward, move on. There's so much we have to do in a short time.
Yeah, that's just it. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. We don't have, you know, the magic wand that's going to, hold on a few moments. Give me 1 second.
So, Christine, what are your thoughts on all of this?
I'm sorry. I was in and out because I was on the phone. So I didn't really catch what happened. I had to take my earpiece out and talk because I felt like I was yelling at somebody.
No. I'll tell you something. There's never a dull moment when it comes to topics to talk about in this day and age. If it's not the penal system, you know, it's the pandemic. If it's not the pandemic, it's foster homes. It's social services. And you know when I was doing social work years ago, a lot of times kids bounced around so much that they would actually act out in a foster home because they were expected to get kicked out of the foster home anyway. And if you didn't find situations like that, you found situations where kids were actually violated or abused while in foster homes. So, you know, it's like with anybody in the world, you're going to find good and bad. And there were foster parents that really took it serious. They really wanted to do it for their foster children. But there were also that were just in for the money. And that's what happens. A lot of times children are being abused or they're violated, or they're in homes where they're feeling like they're going to get transferred out anyway, moved around, so they start acting out. And then you have some that really work out really good. But that's one of the reasons why I never wanted to remove any child from a home, because I know what it's like. I mean, I was adopted by my father, but I know what it's like to be in situations like that. And it's not a thing. It's not.
Yeah. No, every time I hear you know, my husband's story in regards to being adopted and being in foster care, it's really tough, and sometimes it's really sad. And but I always tell him, you know, not all foster care systems are like that. So there is a lot of pain behind that.
Yeah.
So
how long have you been married now, you and your husband?
Oh, 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll tell you
one thing. I thought it was 8 years, but it's 7.
sometimes they say a woman makes a man, and you know, there's so many situations out there where marriages don't work out, and even relationships don't work out. And I always say the bad guys get the good women, and the good women get the bad guys. And it's refreshing when I hear or see a couple that are working together to make a marriage work or to make a relationship work.
Yeah, it wasn't easy.
I have found, you know, it's like taming a horse, right? a horse has been abused or whatever. And it takes a lot of work to make it, but I would be interested in, you know, just hearing how you went about these things.
Mm-hmm. No, it was really difficult, you know, because for in my case, you know, he didn't know what love was, and it took a long time for him to accept any type of love, because you know, there was abuse and sexual trauma, and so and coming from, you know, my family and what love is, it was just really heartbreaking to know, like, how he was raised and what love meant to him. And, you know, and every time he likes to tell our story, it always began with a hug that I gave him, because I heard his story, and I just hugged him. And I told him everything was going to be okay. And, you know, from then on, we moved forward, and we've been through hardships, a lot of pain, and a lot of good times. So marriage is just a work in progress, and, you know, there's a lot of possibilities.
Well, I'll tell you, it's good, because I'll tell you, your husband seems very motivated, and you and Lawrence, and I mean, you just seem to be growing as time goes on, just growing in the work you're doing. And I think the legacy program, and also, what is it, Each One Teach One?
Yes.
Now, is that connected with the legacy program, or are they two separate programs?
They are two separate, but we are considered connected to them. So it's just another program within legacy.
Okay. I tell you, he did do a lot in a short time since he's been out, and I really admire people that are, you know, that are motivated like that.
Yeah, I was really surprised at how much knowledge he knew when I first met him, and you know, with the knowledge that I have from paralegal, business paralegal, and a lot of criminal background for paralegal. It was just really interesting on how, you know, he wanted to go home. And I gave him advice. And, you know, ever since then, you know, he's just so motivated in everything he knows. It's, you know, with his wife, Sam, and his son, Aiden. And they, you know, it's encouraging to know that, you know, they encourage him. And all family members and friends and the community encourage him to do more and to strive more. Even though he's so stubborn, he tries. He tries not to.
You know,
that's
one thing I notice about children in foster care. They, you know, they're so used to being bounced around. They get a hard shell for a while. It takes a while before they can soften that shell up, because they've been through so much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I could shed some light on that topic. You know, being bounced around, it's, you know, it's kind of like taking a ping pong ball and putting it in a jar, a glass jar, putting the lid on, and it just bounces and bounces and bounces. You ever drop a box of ping pong balls and try to pick them up?
No. You
juggle and try to pick them. Just try to pick up one, and then two, and then three, and then four. There's a whole box of 100 of them that just fall, and you try to pick them up, and you can't, because you have all these things in your life you're trying to figure out your place in life, just your place, and let alone being juggled. You talk about just people fighting, you know, just to figure out what they want to eat for lunch, or what they're going to do for dinner, or what they're going to do tomorrow or next week. But this is a child that you're trying to figure out, or that child's trying to figure out where their head's going to be at night. Who's my next dad? Who's my next mother? who you going to call and play house with, because let's face it, you're being bounced around. And, you know, the people that advocate in your life make a difference. Those are the ones that, you know, I could sit here and complain and I can tell you all the things in my life that are bad and all the things that are terrible. What's it going to do? What's it going to justify? It's not going to solve any. The people that advocate in your life, the advocates are the ones that are going to make the difference. You can pick up whatever you want in life. It's not what you have in life, people. It's what you do with it. Go after your education. Be inspired. Go learn something. Do something for the day. Teach somebody. And it's funny, Leona, you spoke on it. You know, each one teach one. And we do. We all have a past growing up. We all have a story. But you can't be afraid to get out and speak about it, because if you do not speak about it, you never know who you could have saved, who you could have reached, who you inspired against, you know. And the fundamentals of life is a learning tool. It's a learning tactic, should I say. You know, all the things that you can eat and the things you can't eat. And, you know, you have to decipher for yourself what's good and what's bad. But you can't have one just without the other. You have to have the storms, because when a storm comes, a rainbow comes after.
Amen. Amen.
Always get out there and reach for your stars. Get out there and talk to somebody. I'm telling you. I can't emphasize anymore, because of the fact that this person's slow, or this person has the agility not to be capable of this. There's a reason for it. Not everyone's going to be that shiny star that you're looking for. Not everyone's going to fit that puzzle piece that you're trying to put together. And a lot of times you got to make do with what you have. Be thankful for what you have. It may not be what you were looking for. It may not be what you imagined right now. But like my brother always told me, write down the positive and the negatives of that situation, of what you're going through. Just write them down. And eventually the negatives will disappear. You'll have more positives in your life you'll be stuck with, and that you see that you've accomplished. Or you could be the opposite. Collect all the negatives. And what's that doing for you? How's that going? Check back in 5 years, 10 years. But the best thing you can do is look back and say, you know what? That's where I was. That's not where I am. It's not what I'm doing. You know, it's what you do in life that determines your future. Be that big brother, that big sister, to teach somebody something. And even if you don't teach someone something, at least you tried. You gave the effort. You've given that opportunity. Most won't take it. But I'd be a fool if I told you that I never fell down, never got hurt, never was scared. There's a lot of things that I'm afraid of.
How old were you when you and Lawrence were removed from the home and put in foster care?
Oh boy, I think he was about 6 years old, or I was about near that age. We were both young youth, troubled youths in our being adolescent children, you know. It's not like we were just taken away, because it's a different feeling than that. It's more of a waking up one day and you're here one, you're there one day, and you're gone the next.
That quick?
The next second. What's that?
That quick? It happened that quick?
That quick. They take
wow.
you, it's not a process. It's not, it could be a court battle. It could be, it happens like that fast. They take you from the home, and they put you in another alternative home. And they tell you, this is your home. You don't understand what's going on. You don't know what questions to ask. You're lost with tears, feelings, the clothes on your back. They don't know what you like. You don't know what they like. Different smells, different sounds, different shapes, different colors. And people out there, you got to be biased in things that you have no idea what bias is. It doesn't matter what color you are, where you come from. It matters what you do. What you say, how you act is where you go in life. And being taken away was like you're stripped of all your rights, all your privileges. You think you've done something wrong, but you're told you're loved. You're told that I care about you. You hear certain words that come up all too familiar every day. You're reminded. And you begin to believe this. You begin to, well, maybe it is true. Maybe my family loves me, but they're just sick. No, they didn't want you. The truth is they didn't want you to begin with. They didn't like anything about you. They didn't care anything about you. It was almost like they wanted you to die. Everything in your life that ever happened to you as a child kept happening because these people didn't want you. They hated everything about you. The color of your skin. But they continue to tell you they love you. They continue to tell you the bull lies, the BS lies, every day. How many times does someone tell you they love you? That's a common word, love. It's a sadistic word that, to me, would be made up. But there's a person in my life that tells me otherwise, shows me otherwise, teaches me otherwise. One's better. But as a kid in foster care, you know, you grow into those pants that you wear, and you begin to tell yourself and show yourself the true meaning. And that's hard to do, I'm telling you. That's a hard concept to try to understand as a child. It's a real mind F game. It could really, and there was points in my life where I was down, depressed. That's the thing I face a lot, is I get depression, anxiety, guilt, all the time. I feel like it's my fault. Sometimes I revert back thinking that it's my fault. I'm the problem. I was the issue. And then someone comes along. God puts someone in my life for that day or that week or that year and says, shows me otherwise, proves me otherwise, because I pray, I ask, I knock, I seek. You can't have better unless you want better, people. You can't do better unless you apply yourself with the wisdom and the desires of your heart. The people in your life make all the difference. The platforms, they're little stepping stools that get closer to God. They get closer to your goals, get closer to freedom. You can lose everything in life. You can lose everybody and everything. But you have yourself and the man upstairs and the people that he puts in your path. I always tell people that, you know, if he brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. It took me a long time to understand that, because I kept feeling like I was on an auto repeat. I kept doing the same things over and over and over and over and over. My life was never going to be any different. I always thought that. I always thought everything would be good, be great. But it took work. It took sacrifice. Being hauled away from your biological parents, if they were our biological parents, because my parents, let's face it, they hid secrets, or they made secrets. They hold stories and told secrets, or told stories and held secrets, should I say, excuse me. But the point I'm getting at is the world's not honest. Life's not honest. So you have to be honest with yourself and figure out what you want. And it took the people in my life to figure that out.
Brady, we have another minute or so, a minute or two. Do you want to give the audience your contact information and whatever you want them to know? Okay.
Not a problem. Thank you, Leona, for the opportunity on the Blog Talk Radio with my wife, Christine Brady, secretary, and Lauren Strink, co-host, CEO of Legacy Programs, Each One Teach One. We're going through a fire right now up in their area, so it's a little bit delayed and back behind on the show. We do apologize. But if you want to reach out, you know, legacyprograms.net, I'm sure my brother will relay to myself of information if you have any questions or concerns. It's been under a humongous amount of pressure lately with things going on, but just be patient and, you know, say a prayer for us. Just get through. And but like we always say, you know, be the artist to your canvas and do the, you know, get it, open up and say something, talk out and be an activist out there, make a difference. We thank everybody for listening. We thank everyone for tuning in. Until next time and next week, stay cool, stay classy.
Your show will now end. Thank you.